This is the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Now, word from our sponsor.
It's fantasy football time at Hooters. Host your fantasy draft party at Hooters and get a free draft kit with over $200 in Hooters coupons and plenty of free game gear. Book your party online today at Hooters.com/football. With free Wi-Fi, you can check all the stats on game day. Get your game on at Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983, with 12 Tampa Bay area locations.
So get on up! Get on down to Hooters!
Hooters is where a number of us assembled last night for the season opener between the Eagles and the Falcons, and we played DFS last night for prizes from Hooters, JoeBucksFan.com, Todd Wright Tour, first, second, and third. Congrats to SD, who actually plays in the 10-team league that I personally commission outside the podcast. He was the winner last night. There wasn't a lot of fantasy points to be had in the first half of that game between the Falcons and the Eagles, but he managed to have the most, and we did have sort of a traditional tiebreaker in terms of total points scored on the first half, and SD won a $50 gift certificate, good for any of the original Hooters' 12 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Second place was CJ, who is in one of the podcast leagues. Third place was Doc. He is also in my personal 10-team league, the Foundation. They both were escorted to the gift shop and allowed to pick out whatever they wanted, courtesy of Hooters, and thanks to the hospitality of Tony Metzler, who plays in our podcast league, the Governors of Lavish Fantasy Football. He's the manager at the Hooters on 4th Street in St. Pete. And in particular, when you go in there, you can always ask for Tony. Tell him you're a podcast listener just to get the seat you want, get the game on you want. And you might want to ask for a lovely young lady with some Chicago roots now living in our area named Rain, R-A-N-E, sweetheart, who knows very little about fantasy football and nearly won the pool last night. She was just circling names on her DFS card, and she finished basically in a tie for third, 1 point out of first, and her tiebreaker would have worked. She almost won, basically. She ran fifth, but she almost won. And isn't that the way a lot of these things go with people that don't follow it and just want to play? And who knows? Maybe now she'll be a little more interested. She seemed excited that she almost won. Lovely young lady working there at Hooters 4th Street North. Asked for Rain to serve you. Asked for Tony Metzler, who is the manager, when you go into that store. We may, Caddyshack reference here, may make your future be the ball. We may have another fantasy get-together at Hooters. I've already talked to Tony about it. In about a month, kind of a second chance fantasy league that meets sort of a survivor format. I've always wanted to do this, and Tony liked the idea, and might be a good excuse for podcast listeners to get together and play a very unique sort of in-season fantasy game where you get to draft after the first month of the season is basically in the books, which should be a lot easier than drafting with a month of training camp and preseason games. So stay tuned for that. I'll keep working on it, but it's something that I've always wanted to do in terms of sort of a second chance fantasy game, but combining elements of Survivor, not only the TV show, but those of you that play in Survivor or Eliminator pools where, you know, if your team loses, you're out of the pool for the season, kind of the same way we would do it until we ultimately have a winner in championship week. I would still have the championship game in week 16. So stay tuned for that. And we may do something like that in about a month. And I'm giving Tony at St. Pete Hooters first chance to host it because he did such a good job with us last night. And he is a fantasy player with a lot of good ideas. So thanks for those of you that came out. Mr. Fultz, Paul, Robert Wright, no relation, last year's champion of the podcast league, and his lovely wife. Mike Cairns came from Bay News 9 and Spectrum Sports, brought a whole crew of people, many Eagles fans, and also some of my golfers showed up, like Paul and Greg. So we had a good group last night, and thank you for coming out to our second Hooters event. We may do another one in about a month for a unique second chance fantasy game I've wanted to do for some time. All right. As far as the Thursday night game, let's just do a quick recap there. First of all, for those of you that don't understand why I'm opposed to PPR, I present to you Nelson Agholor. Nelson Agholor last night managed 33 yards on 8 receptions. Almost unheard of. Now, granted, the Eagles won the game. Agholor was one of the options, and it seems they're very limited right now for Nick Foles. No Alshon Jeffrey. Another wide receiver went on IR recently for the Eagles. Their rookie tight end had a rough night behind Ertz. Ertz dropped a ball for the first time in November of 2016? Look, we enjoyed watching football last night. It was a bad game with an interesting finish, right? And then you got Philly, part two. So, and the weather delay stinks. Thank goodness, no helmet rule penalties. I'll take a weather delay and no helmet rule penalties for any game I want to watch this year. But Nelson Agholor, 33 yards on 8 catches. But in PPR, in full point PPR, Nelson Agholor last night is worth 11.3 points. No, he shouldn't be. That is example number one why PPR is outdated. If you do not gain yardage on your receptions, you should not receive points for your receptions. Just like until Jay Ajayi got it going late in the game, and magically he's already touched a ball within the 5-yard line. He even got the ball in a 2-point conversion and converted before, of course, the ball popped out of his hands, but it was a conversion. Running backs don't get points just for carrying the football and not gaining yardage. Wide receivers shouldn't get points for just catching the football and not advancing the football. So in a standard scoring league last night, Nelson Agholor gets 3.3 points. That's it. In a PPR league, Nelson Agholor gets 11.3 points. Now in a half point PPR, you obviously cut that number from 8 down to 4. So he got 7.3 points. I need not say any more why PPR should not exist, much the way I'm telling you now DST should not exist. If you want to watch football and have it be a true reflection of your fantasy football team, you should eliminate PPR scoring. Now, I know your leagues have already started, but think about it for next year. And think about Nelson Agholor last night. Nelson Agholor, should he have been worth 3.3 points, 7.3 points, or 11.3 points? In the game itself, he was worth 33 yards. Why should a guy worth 33 yards and no touchdowns or 2-point conversions be worth 11.3 points in fantasy football? He shouldn't. End of discussion for this podcast. Take PPR out of your leagues for 2019. All right? I'll work on you for DST at another time because I've removed it from the foundation league that I commissioned and no one complained. We replaced it with a second quarterback. Also, just one of the guys, I know many of you are now saying to me, thank you for talking me out of Jerick McKinnon, or I'm sorry I didn't listen to you on Jerick McKinnon. We'll get to Le'Veon Bell here in a moment. There are other guys that consistently I try to talk you out of here on the podcast, And one stomach cramp for the entire time I've done this podcast is Devontae Parker. And I open up Roto World before doing this podcast, taping it at roughly 1 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. And the top NFL headline on Roto World is Devontae Parker officially doubtful versus Titans. As one of our owners in the Foundation League and a very talented golfer and golf instructor, Joey, would say, and water is wet. You know, one of the reasons why the Dolphins are a joke is Devontae Parker. Not only that they drafted him, but why is he still there? Why does anyone think anything of this guy? Devontae Parker being doubtful for the season opener is just a testament to how shitty the Dolphins organization is. And one thing to keep an eye on here going down the road. The owner of the Dolphins is one of the biggest donors to the University of Michigan. If you don't know, Jim Harbaugh's reign at the University of Michigan is already off to a losing start, granted, on the road against a perceived good team, maybe very good team, in Notre Dame. But for quite a while now, Harbaugh's basically been a 500 coach at Michigan. He's not winning any meaningful games. He also appears to be losing his mind, let alone probably his team, and he's driving some prominent alums like Braylon Edwards to openly admit that they're drinking a lot because Harbaugh is insane. So Harbaugh is probably going to be looking for the exit door very soon, and I doubt many Michigan alums are going to point him in any other direction. He could end up as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins because the owner of the Dolphins is basically paying his salary at Michigan anyway. And you could see the Dolphins making Adam Gase a scapegoat when it's clear they just are a bad organization. I believe in Adam Gase. I think all the publicity that Matt Nagy is getting at in Chicago, Adam Gase should be getting. The Dolphins have overachieved for two straight years. So if the Dolphins are stupid enough to fire Adam Gase to bring in the nut job that is Jim Harbaugh, Adam Gase will do just fine with a better organization somewhere else as an OC and then a head coach or immediately hired again as an offensive coordinator. But Devontae Parker and his entire run with the Dolphins is what's wrong with the Miami Dolphins. And Adam Gase overachieves from where they are. All right, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. Since we last left you, nothing has changed. Bell has not arrived. You cannot expect him to be any factor for you week one, and then you wonder what week two brings. Again, here are the scenarios with Le'Veon Bell. Bell decides to sit out 10 games, then report, get credit for the year of service time, and then hope for a better result for him in the offseason. Or the Steelers could do what the Raiders did with Khalil Mack and put Bell on the market, get multiple draft picks or players, trade Le'Veon Bell, and Bell cashes in a $100 million plus contract with a new team. Oh, I don't know. The Lions, the Jets, the Redskins, just three that come to mind. I'm sure the Rams would be interested, but it's one thing to look, no fantasy backfield has Gurley and Bell. I don't think an NFL team can afford Gurley and Bell either. But the Rams seem to be interested in everybody these days. They even made a run at Khalil Mack. Okay. So now, looking ahead to Sunday's game, Steelers and Browns. James Conner, if you own him, you're playing him. Now, this goes against what I say and what I say every year about playing your draft board. If you drafted someone as your QB1, you play them this week. The exception is Carson Wentz. If you drafted someone as your RB1 this week, you're playing them, with the exception of Le'Veon Bell. If you drafted a wide receiver one this week, you're playing them. This is where I say don't get cute. Matt Berry says don't get cute in the playoffs or late in the season. No. No. You do have some analytics to put into that, and it generally is the right move. This is where you don't look at matchups. I'm not going to preview every matchup today. I'll start doing that next week for select matchups in the podcast. You know why? I want you to play the team you drafted. You drafted starters, and you drafted a bench. Now, if you do have James Conner, I think you find a spot for him. You either flex him, or you play him at your RB3 or your RB2, however your league is set up. I do think you find a spot for James Conner. The example on this is D'Angelo Williams from previous years, and the fact the Steelers are good. And the Steelers are a team that, for whatever reason, you can hold this against Mike Tomlin or just the culture of that locker room, or both. As you saw last year a number of times during the season, the Steelers sometimes just don't look like they're interested in playing on a particular day. It happens about once every 4 to 6 weeks. It happened last year in their playoff game against the Jaguars, and look what happened. I have a feeling the Steelers are interested in playing this week, which is bad news for the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers generally are bad news for the Cleveland Browns. And this is a hell of an opportunity for James Conner. You think those offensive linemen don't want James Conner to rush for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game? Oh, yeah. So I think the one exception from your draft board is if you own James Conner, figure out a way to put him in there. Not at the expense of Christian McCaffrey, not at the expense of Kareem Hunt, not at the expense of Saquon Barkley, no. But as an RB2, as an RB3, if you play 3 running backs, as a flex, yeah, I think you get Connor in your lineup. He's the one exception this week. So if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, what are you doing? Well, yeah, you can trade him. If you're that desperate, and I know some owners drafted Bell, McKinnon, and Ingram. I'm looking at one draft board right now. Bell in the first round, McKinnon in the fourth round, Ingram in the seventh round. Nope, nope, nope. So that owner in week one has to start either his 13th round pick, his 14th round pick, or he claimed Alfred Morris on waivers. Might work out, but not really what you signed up for. I am not a Le'Veon Bell owner. I'm considering making an offer to acquire him. But I don't want to give up too much. But that owner may just be looking for a body at this point. So there's no right answers here. Unlike a year ago when I was telling you about Ezekiel Elliott and how he wasn't going to miss the first 6 games of the season. He ended up missing 6 later in the season, but he was there for the beginning of the year, and his draft value plummeted, which allowed you to get good value on a player, and then set up your backfield to where when or if Elliott was suspended, you weren't going to miss him as much. You had time to have enough running back depth to cover for that loss. Probably better than the Cowboys did, who, you remember, those first 3 games without Ezekiel Elliott looked terrible before they figured something out. All right, so again, play the team you drafted with the exception of Bell, Wentz, McKinnon, I really don't know any other, and Connor, because I think you do want to figure out a way to get Connor there in your starting lineup. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. I will continue to say this because it's always been my policy. I'm happy to answer your questions. I'm not going to pick your starting lineup. Don't give me or questions as it relates to your lineup. I will not answer them. All I'm going to do from now on, I mean, you guys are testing me on this. So if someone emails me and says, should I play? What's a good example? Should I play Mac? And you already know the answer to that. No. Mac, Burkhead, or Drake as my flex. You're asking me to pick your starter. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to, from now on, just respond to the first name and give you a thought on the first name and then say, remember, I do not pick your starters. By the way, on Burkhead, this via Nesson, I'm reading on RotoWorld. Rex Burkhead expected to be the Patriots' top ball carrier against the Texans, reportedly over his summer knee injury issue, not on the week one injury report. Looks like James White, Mr. January, will get the down and distance work. But Burkhead will get some of that too. He's a valuable guy, both on early downs or if Brady, and Brady throws on early downs. He loves throwing on early downs. So Burkhead will catch his share of balls. Jeremy Hill, I just wonder if Jeremy Hill's kind of this year's Mike Gillisley in New England. He's going to get a shot in the first game. And then after that, does Bill Belichick say, all right, we don't need him anymore? And just kind of what Marvin Lewis did to John Ross last year. You just kind of never see him again. So anyway, but I'm happy to answer fantasy football questions. Just don't give me an either or for your starting lineup. There's a way you can ask me about fantasy football without asking me to pick your starting lineup. Figure it out. You're smart. You play fantasy football. You listen to podcasts. You know how to send emails. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball at gmail.com. TODDWRIGHT, fantasyfootball at gmail.com. My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck this weekend. And remember, Nelson Aguilar's week one line in 2018 is the reason you should not play PPR in 2019. Nelson Aguilar was not worth 11 points last night. Fantasy football is fun, but it should accurately reflect real football that we watch on a regular basis, not be so significantly skewed. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.